Before we jump into today's podcast, just wanted to shout out our sponsor, True Blue Pools of Lexington, Kentucky. They are the pool doctors. If you're in the hunt for any kind of pool supplies or need a quote, or especially if you're in that Lexington area, give them a shout out. Their URL is truebluepoolslex.com. We'll have all of that information below. Big Virginia fans, shout out Wesley. Thank you for all the support. And without further ado, we've got a special podcast. If you want to watch today's podcast, make sure you sign up for VIP. We post those in the forum along with the incredible content from Who's Got Next. Just to give you a heads up, prices will be rising soon. So make sure you jump in there, get grandfathered in to the $5 price a month. It's a steal for as much as Who's Got Next has going on and all the incredible content from the podcast. If you support us, check it out. If you don't mind, leave us some feedback, 5 stars or however many stars you want to give us. Check it out. We'd love the feedback. Appreciate all the support. And without further ado, the podcast.
Welcome back to another episode of Locker Room Access Podcast. I'm Justin Anderson here doing another recruiting spotlight, I guess we call it now, with the man, the myth, the legend, young Ryan Dunn out of New York City. Ryan, what's up, dude?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm doing good, man. I'm trying to stay safe out here. I'm ready for the season to start up. And
that sounds good.
Yeah, man. It's actually interesting. So before we got on this call, I was looking at an Instagram Live, and Kyrie Irving came out and spoke about being anti-vaccinated for the first time. And just listening to his opinion and how he feels about it, I think everybody's entitled and right to their opinion.
That's 100% true.
Aside from all of that, what is going through your mind when someone brings up, do you remember COVID?
A lot of ups and downs, I would say. A lot of negatives, a lot of positives for me.
Let's talk about some of those positives, because I don't want to get us started on the negative note. Let's talk about what was dope about COVID to you.
It kind of changed me as a person. I would say it kind of taught me a lot about me, a lot about other people, learning who's in your corner, who's not in your corner. Really, with my big family, that was a big one for me. We were always together because I couldn't go nowhere, so it was kind of like getting to sit down and hang out with them and watch Netflix and do some fun stuff with my mom and my dad. Sometimes my brother would Google and call because he's out. He was playing baseball. So we were doing that. And it also kind of helped me all on the court, because that was a time where everyone couldn't do nothing. So like, it wasn't like people were playing, getting that publicity. It was always everyone's home. So that was kind of time for me just to lock in and be like, all right, I need to start just get myself working, get myself better, chipping away every day. And then once I started doing that, then they started getting a lot more better for me.
That's incredible, because a lot of people, you either utilize it the good way or the bad way. You could have utilized it to not get better at all. Some people say they got better at basketball, but it sounds like you work more on yourself. You use it to get better and understanding yourself more. Being so young, just being in high school, what is one of the things that comes to mind when you say you've learned more about yourself? What is one of the things that you've learned most during that process that is set apart from pre-COVID? So something that you learned that you didn't really understand or notice about yourself before COVID even exists.
For me, I was always kind of person that wanted to be like caring for others, I would say. Ever since I was young, my parents always implemented that into me when I was young. So when COVID hit, it was kind of like, what do I do? You know, like I can't really do a lot of things that you can do when there's always COVID stuff. So for me, it kind of just sat down and helped me figure out who I am, and just be like caring for myself. I'll say learning who I am, as we talked about, just me learning how to be the best version of myself. So when this COVID stuff ends, I can come out and be me, I'll say, and just be happy and have energy for others, make everybody excited, and just be the real, like be like a better version of Ryan.
That's funny that you say that, because it actually draws parallels. Shout out to your brother who plays baseball. not just any typical baseball player, Justin, who's playing for the Seattle Mariners just this season. We'll get into him a little bit later, but you continue to reference your parents a lot. Your parents have a big impact on you. Shout out to Mr. Ed, Miss Donna. I heard Mr. Ed, they call him in New York Diddy because he's making the band as far as grooming two young men to be the best that they could possibly be. Talk a little bit about that upbringing, your parents and how much they've had to sacrifice, not only raising you and helping you become a good young man, but also helping you as far as achieving your dream in sport.
I mean, it was a lot. I give them all the props in the world, especially my mom and my dad. Especially my dad, because he always kind of put that on, like in the sports side of it, putting that motor into me early, and also my brother, as we're gonna talk about later. But he was always on me, baseball wise. I would play baseball, rather than play basketball, just to work and work and work and try to get better at young. So he kind of pushed me just to get better every day. And then off the court wise, just being the best man when I grow up. I was a kid, so I didn't really know what's going on in life, but he always kind of talked to me about like what to do, how to treat people, how not to treat people. And then back to my mom, she was kind of the person that kind of kept me level-headed, always had me had the humble side of myself.
Mom's always gonna do that.
I'm not bigger than nobody, I'm not lower than nobody. I'm just Ryan. So they kind of always implemented, you're always being watched. So represent the Dunn family in a big way. So for me, I just like to be, I'm a cool guy. I'm Ryan. I'm nobody. Like, I'm a very humble guy. I like to help others first, really. So they kind of implemented that into me at really young. So I give them all the credit for me. And they sacrifice a lot for me to be Ryan right now.
Ironically, you're wearing the family UVA dry fit right now as we speak. You know, when you talk about sacrifice, it's your story. I don't like to compare games. I feel like we're in an era where everybody wants to compare their games to someone else. If you're a scout, if you're another player, you try to figure out who does he play like. When in reality, I think the way that this game is, dude, is everybody is just a little bit different. He may have a lot of similarities. Kobe has a lot of similarities to Jordan. Bron has a lot of similarities to Magic. But at the end of the day, they're still different players. But your story is something that I kind of relate to. You went to Oak Hill as a sophomore in high school.
As a sophomore, yeah.
And shout out to Oak Hill. I got to do it for Corey Alexander. That's the only reason why I'm going to shout out Oak Hill at this moment, because that's my guy, former UVA standout player, played professionally in the NBA. But I went to Montrose Christian. And okay. Christian's in Maryland. It's a rival, if you want to call it. In 2011, I'll give myself a little pat on the back. Mama Dunn might tell me to humble myself, but 2011, we won a national championship and we beat Oak Hill. And for me growing up, I watched a lot of Oak Hill with Brandon Jennings. You know, they've always had loaded talent. Quinn Cook was on that team. They've always been a really good team. I'm not going to give them too much attention here. We had some guys. We had some dogs too. And we beat Oak Hill twice that season to go on to win a national championship in high school. And in order for me to get to that moment, a lot of sacrificing had to happen. I actually grew up in a small town in Virginia, Montrose, Virginia. And my pops drove me from Montrose to Montrose in Maryland, in Rockville, Maryland, 2.5 hours every day my freshman year. And that's something that, looking back now at 27, about to be 28, I say, wow, that's real sacrifice. And I heard that your pop is no different than that. He's willing to do whatever it takes to get you the best trainer, to get you to your workouts on time, no matter how far it is. Talk about that sacrifice that you've seen so far from your parents, because I think it's important that they understand your appreciation, and it's also important that people understand what goes into being a high-level college athlete.
I mean, yeah, again, big, big shout out to my parents. I wouldn't have this shirt on if it wasn't really for them. There was times where I had to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. And that means my mom, I had to get up at 5 to make me breakfast. I'm not a good cook. I can't cook. I can't do that. That's her job. She'll make some pancakes, throw them on the skillet, make it. having, I go eat, and then my dad will come pick me up at around 5:30, 5:45. It might be 30 minutes away, it might be an hour away, but he doesn't care. Like, he'll get you. He gets me there. He gets my brother to wherever he got to get to when he was younger. Back to the whole trainer thing, he will try to find the best guy out of all guys. Like, he doesn't care how much he has to pay. Whoever it is, if he can get me to where I want to be, he'll do it. So,
and this is the Diddy reference, right? He's going to do
it. Yeah, he's like the Diddy. He's like the Diddy of all this.
And if you don't know who Diddy is, we're talking about Puff Daddy himself. And making the band and how he's done whatever he has to do to not only push his name, his family's name, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so then a little bit about him. He doesn't want me to talk about this, so if you see that, I'm sorry, but he has his own little thing called ED1. So it's kind of like his agency. So he has my brother, which is in the Mariners, and now he has me that's committed to Virginia, top AC school. So he's kind of like, no one can really touch me right now. I'm like that. But
he's giving some Lamar vibes, huh?
Big Lamar vibes. But there's nothing I can really say, but thank you. He's always been there. A lot of ups and downs with him. Sometimes I'll come from a workout and he'll scream at me, but sometimes he'll always try to give me the best advice that I can be. And sometimes I don't want to hear it because I'm the son and he's the father. A lot of kids don't want to hear what their dad's saying at the time, but he always implemented some good stuff into me. And I can't thank both of them. And like a lot, it's going to take a long time so I can really get a thank you from them.
A lot of times I stand by this and I believe this. A lot of times little brother is always better than big brother. I see this a lot in a lot of professional sports. And the reason why my ideology or my thoughts behind it is because big brother was the guinea pig. Big brother had to go first and he had to understand how tough and grueling and how hard it is to be really good at anything. Because he's the first one that comes from the family, that the family is very highly invested in. And then everything else after that, it's like, okay, we've had practice with one, we'll figure it out with the others. Baseball. Talking to your brother, Justin, got an opportunity to hop on the phone with him just to kind of understand more of who you were. And a lot of people have a lot of high character things to say about you, but we know that. Being recruited by Tony Bennett and his staff, that they are always going to bring in high character guys that are going to represent themselves and their families properly. But when you think back to your brother playing baseball, and then here comes Ryan along, talking to him, he says that you actually had a chance to be a really good baseball player. And that's a major league pitcher saying that.
That doesn't mean nothing to me. I'm not going to lie. When you say that, that's a lot of people say that about him. And I'm just like, that's my older brother. That's the thing about me. Like, I don't really care. But yeah, growing up from young, watching him play, it was kind of like when I kind of started seeing him play, it was like, I had to pick it up. It's in front of my face every day. There's nothing I can do. So there would be times, a little funny story with him, going off work ethic, that's where I got my work ethic from a lot. Because we'll be young and I'll be like 7, 8. And like, I just want to play. Like, I want to go home and play with my toys and watch YouTube. And my dad will be at work. So it'll be my brother and me at home and with my grandma. And my brother will be, hey, Ryan, come here. He'll say, get on the phone, call dad and be like, listen, can we go to Cajun Hit? And it'll be every single day, every single day. Can we go hit? Can we go hit? And I'm asking, like, why are you asking me for? Like, I don't want to go hit. But he always wanted to, because I'm a little brother. So he's gonna have to say yes to me. It's right. Not like he's gonna be like, no, you can't. So
good old Dragon. It was like,
yeah, good old Dragon Monk, you have to come. So I was always there. And then going to see him play, I watched him pitch, and then as I was young, I kind of like dozed off into the stands, went to go get food, went to go steal foul balls, went to go play with my friends, but I was always around them. So I kind of grew that passion of I want to be like him in the baseball standpoint of being how good he was at a young age. I kind of wanted to be better than him or not be as him, be just like him. So he kind of grew baseball into me and my dad grew into me as well. And I feel like if I kept playing now, I might have a professional baseball shirt on right now. I might be going out of high school. because of just who he was. And now they have all the tools to get me there. So now it's just like, I just got to do the work myself. Or if not, I'll be knowing where I'm going right now in college.
So that's interesting that you said it, because he said your response was going to, of course, be humble. He talked about you playing some outfield. He talked about you playing catch. And she said, this dude is just a freak. Like, you can put him anywhere on the baseball field and he was successful. But he said there was a time where you came home, and you might have to correct this story, but you came home, I guess, from middle school or early high school, and you won a shooting contest that you saw. And from that moment, basketball kind of played a role in your life.
Yeah, so that was elementary school. That was fifth grade.
Okay, talk to me.
So we had this thing at my elementary school, Brookside High School. It's like 5 minutes away from my house in Baldwin. And we had this contest. So if you won the contest in the school, you will go to the high school, which is like a 3 minute walk, and go play or shoot threes in 3-point competition. If you win that, you're like the best shooter. Mm. So keep in mind, like, I don't play basketball. Like, I don't leave. I play, but I play for fun. So I'm like, okay, let me go shoot. I shoot at Brookside. I beat my group, which advances me to high school. So now it's like kids from where I am, from Freeport, from Garden City, from all over the place in Long Island. And we're shooting. And I shoot, and I'm shooting well. Like, and I go up, I hit like, I don't know how much, I hit a lot. And I ended up winning. And I call my mom, I won. And my dad was like, you don't play basketball. How'd you, like, I just hit shots. And then I just hit shots. I don't know. I don't want to tell you. And then I think after that, it kind of started, I guess, leveling to the passion, I'll say. Like, baseball was still here, but basketball was slowly coming to level. And then I'll say once middle school hit, I hurt my arm pitching one time. And as I put the baseball down, put the bat down, the basketball kind of picked up a little bit more. So then I, once eighth, ninth grade hit, it was time to be say, yeah, it's time to put this down. Like, I wasn't, I think I have a good chance of being where I am right now, basketball-wise, but it took a lot of work, and I wanted to play. I had fun. I didn't have fun playing baseball no more. I had fun picking up a basketball, dribbling it, going to shoot with my friends, and just being a kid like that.
I would regret not asking this question. Can you still swing a baseball bat, maybe knock it out of the park? Because our record right now against the coaches in this preseason softball game.
Oh, don't worry. We're going to change that. I can't hit out the park. I'm not a good hit. I can't hit out the park, but I can put it in play. Like, I'm a good hitter. I was never a strength hitter, but I can hit.
Okay. Well, I would love for you and Kate to be on the same team, because we need some help, man. When I was there, we weren't losing to those guys. We maybe lost one of my 3 years in college. But after that, we didn't lose anymore. And then to hear that these old heads are just, especially, you know, some of our assistants, Coach Williford is the first person to come to mind. Like, come on, we can't let these guys win anymore, man.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
I heard. So I'm going to try to get back in the cage before I leave just to practice my swing. And again, my dad was actually really good at softball. Big man. So he's going to help me teach that. So once I get there, I'm going to be back.
Perfect. So when TB hears this, maybe we put a little fear in his heart when he steps up to play.
Hopefully. I'm gonna get in the cage. I'm gonna send him some video of me hitting and say, just be ready.
Let's go. That's what I love to hear. Going into high school, you met a trainer who's a dear friend of mine who's worked with me a little bit as a professional. I spent a lot of time in Atlanta, maybe 2 or 3 years of my professional year. So my professional career so far, Andre Brown, AKA Drizzy. Drizzy was introduced to you by another high school coach from a very infamous high school in New York, from Christ the King. Talk a little bit about how Drizzy came into your life as a basketball trainer, but then not only that, emerging as a mentor to this day.
So I don't say Drizzy as a trainer. I say as my brother. Like, that's another big brother to me. When I first kind of knew him, I was driving. I forgot where I was going, but my dad. So the coach from us, Chris the King, sorry, I'm a fast forward backtrack. I knew him since like young. Like, he's always been with my dad, and he kind of helped me when I started playing basketball. So Coach Tom knew Andre because of Tyson Walker. Tyson Walker plays at Michigan State right now. I think he trains him and his older brothers playing overseas. So Coach Tom called Andre and said, listen, I have a guy that kind of wants to come train. Can you train him? And he said, cool. So Coach Tom called my dad and I'm in the car and he said, okay, like I have a trainer for you. Come down to this place at this time, bring some workout. I'm like, okay. And I didn't really want to work out like seriously as I do now until I met him. So I was kind of like, okay, I have to go to this workout. It's okay. But so I get there, I meet him, and we go through drills and we're doing stuff. And he's telling me like what he's saying is a little bit different from what I'm hearing from other trainers. Like I can't tell you what he's saying, but it's it feels surreal. It feels like real to me. He's telling me stuff that I never heard a trainer tell me. People care, he cares.
Drizzy's high level. Been around a lot of NBA players.
Yep. He's telling me stuff about how the NBA works, how the league works, how to pick spots. And I'm like, I never thought really about this coming as a high school kid. And he told me, and I never knew this, but after my first workout, he saw me as a pro. And me, a humble kid, I'm not thinking of a pro. I'm thinking as I got to still play high school. I got 2 years left to play.
You're just trying to get better, huh?
I'm trying to play this year. So we kind of, our relationship grew then. And over time, it's just been a little bit different. We've been locked in the gym all that quarantine summer, 6 days a week. A lot of motivational quotes, texts, messages. A lot of mental stuff, and also just being a big brother, just being there for me. We'll go out to eat sometimes. So I give him a lot of big thanks for him too, meeting him, putting God in my life.
You know, that's a big one for me. That's a very underrated quality that a lot of college athletes don't get the opportunity to experience. I'm talking to Drizzy just about your development. I mean, you've been around Torian Prince. He's with Minnesota Timberwolves. You've played with these guys. Shamari Pons, who's you know, St. John's legend and played in the league. What's my guy from Seton Hall? He's a bucket.
Miles Powell?
Man, he's
cool.
You've seen a lot. You've been around Cole Anthony, you know, having some time at Oak Hill. You've seen a lot of pros, and to be able to have a mentor or a trainer or a brother, as you call it, Drizzy, to be able to come into your life at this stage is so important, because a lot of us maybe don't get that until we maybe become professionals, until we're able to start making money and monetize off of our game and our name. So for you to be able to have someone in your corner is such a blessing, because, you know, I know your pops doesn't let just anybody come around you guys, and I know Drizzy personally. So to be able to have a good role model, but also a great leader in basketball. I mean, he's working with the Sacramento Kings this year. He's worked with Rico Hines, another really good family member of mine who played under my high school coach, Stu Vedder. This basketball family runs really deep. It's for you to be able to be connected at an early age. It says a lot. About your willingness to try to figure out what it takes to be successful and how you're going to try to put yourself in position to win, because you know it takes work. And that's one thing I'm really excited to see coming from you when you come to UVA. So we got to talk a little bit about the jungle, man. Talk about the jungle for the people here who don't know what the jungle is. What is the jungle, Ryan?
So the jungle is kind of a backyard. It's a backyard court. That one of Andre's, he trained one of the kids, shout out Orlando, trains him out. So we'll go to his house and we'll train. And there's no calls. So it's like, teaches you how.
Orlando is the homie that has the basketball court in his backyard.
So we'll use that.
The Orlandos in the world are so clutch, dude. They're so clutch. Because when you can't get to the gym, you can just run up the street. Go ahead, talk to me.
So there's no calls. So you can get pushed, punched, anything. You can't call.
There's no foul calls.
No foul calls. And when I first got there, we did a little workout. So that was cool. But then we started playing 2-on-2s. And first time realizing it, I was like, yo, like, I'm getting pushed and hit and doing all this, and I can't call nothing, but like, I'm starting to get angry. Like, I'm starting to, like, I was a kid that never got angry, really. I was always kind of cool, but like, it was different, because I can't get to where I want to get to. I'm getting fouled. I'm doing this. But it teaches you how just to be a better basketball player, because now once the refs comes out, well, they can't do that. So now you can help get to your spots and pick it off and maybe bully even bigger kids than you, because you had to deal with it growing up in that environment. So it helped me a lot.
So in these games, you're bound to see pros, you're bound to see college athletes. Anybody could be there. You could be,
and it's not just pros. It's little kids. It's little kids. It's like kids from like fifth grade to like eighth grade. Like there's a kid I know, the kid I know in Juice that are nice, and they're throwing each other to the ground. But when I see him play against kids my age, they're holding on their own. So it's kind of, it helps them a lot.
So talking to Drizzy, I said, Drizzy, Ryan seems too good to be true. They say this about Coach Bennett all the time. No one can get that good story on Coach Bennett. Talk to me, you know what, explain what happened when you put, what was his name?
Corey.
Talk to me about, and Corey's obviously another young fella that's trying to grind and go get it as well. When you had to put Corey through the fence because the fouls kind of got a little bit out of hand.
So what I'm before, I didn't put him through the fence. I pushed him. I wasn't as big. I'm not big. He was bigger than me. So he kind of pushed me a little bit harder. I didn't put him to the fence, but I pushed him a little bit. Okay. But before, big thank you to Corey, because that kind of taught me a lot. He was always there for me from the jump. Helping me get into where I want to be at, just being more tougher. So it's one night, late night, we were playing 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, He also works with Andre a lot. It was me and my best friend, one of my best friends, Matthew Mahoney. And then it was Corey and his friend Darius. And we were playing twos, and it got a little bit chippy, like a little talking and little stuff like that. And I was never a kid to talk like that. Like, I never talked like that before this day.
It's mandatory to talk after you get a bucket at the jungle, though, right? You got to say.
Yeah, it was like that. So I was always a quiet kid before this game. Like, I was quiet. Like, I didn't like to push anybody around. And we were playing, and we were kind of getting beat up a little bit. They were scoring. Corey was scoring. Andre and Tex were scoring. We were kind of like little kids, like, and we were kind of getting pushed around. I'm like, all right, that's enough. So it was kind of that time where I went locked into a mode that I never knew I had. So we get the ball. I hit a three. I hit 1-3. And now I'm locked in. I'm in that mode. Get to the rim. I hit Corey. And Corey's strong. So, like, I never thought I can get him off. So I bump him. He goes. I hit a layup. And I kind of say something to him. And he gets off. And then he says something back to me. So then we get the ball. I score again. Andre, now he's guarding me. Right, so I give it to my friend Matt, and I missed his dunk. I'm really mad I did, because it would have been really cool. So he drove, they went to go double, he threw a pass, I missed the dunk, but I shot a three and made it. And I kind of said something to him, some curse words came out, and my brother was there, and he never really heard me curse like that. Like, nobody's ever heard me. I don't curse like that, but it was just that time where my anger just let out. Like, it was just gone. Like, whatever I was gonna say was coming out right now. So it was back and forth, and the ball kind of stopped, came in my face, pushed me, pushed him, and then he pushed me back. And then as soon as he pushed me, I stopped. I'm like, this is not who I am. Like, I'm not this type of Ryan. But it was good just getting it out.
Yep.
It was good. That was kind of a big moment for me, because that helped me change to being a young man, I'll say, learning how to push my limits. But also knowing who are you messing with at the time, because my dad kind of told me if that was anybody else, it could have been a whole different story. Like, I could be at the park and that happened. It could be a whole different story for me.
Right. And we all have those stories. This game has a way of doing that. And most of us learn those stories pre-high-level Division I ACC basketball. So this is awesome, though, because this is the best opportunity for you to see adversity from a competitive standpoint. And you responded the way that you're naturally supposed to respond. I mean, when you have a love for something, you try to protect it with everything that you have. I mean, when I was younger, my stories came earlier with my bigger brother and my bigger sister, you know, having to go back inside and crying because I'm losing, or crying because I lost and I didn't get picked up the next game. And Pops is like, nah, like go back outside and either wait or you figure out a way to, you know, to be effective. You got to play defense. You got to score. And then as you get older, you start to pick your own battles. You don't have to go to the front door anymore and say, you know, well, they're not letting me play. Now it's, let me handle this between you and me. Like, I'm good enough. I'm strong. Yeah. I'm tall enough. And these are opportunities for us to grow as hoopers. So this is very natural. And it's cool because there's a nickname that came out of that I know. I don't know if you want to share it to the people, but there's a nickname that when you're on Demon Time, it comes out of you. So it's up to you to share that if you want to keep that to yourself. But I think bringing that to Charlottesville, when, you know, and bringing that, carrying that with you for the rest of your career is what's going to always separate you, because at the end of the day, this is a grown man's game. I say that all the time. And you have to be able to stand 2 feet on who you are, what you stand for. And you're not going to just let anybody, you know, bully you around, push you around, even though they're bigger, stronger. So that's actually a really cool story. I appreciate you sharing it.
Yeah, no. So the nickname that I got was called Christian. So my middle name is Ryan Christian Dunn. And my older brother always saw me as Ryan, as like the cool, shy kid, like always kind of laying in the back, playing by myself, but being having no confidence. But he never saw that side of me. So now, like, when I play and he sees me in that mode, like, not Demon Time, but like in that mode where I need to go and I need to start scoring and locking in, that's when he says, oh, Christian's out now. It's not Ryan. Ryan's gone. It's time for Christian. I don't like to bring it up like that. They do that.
Yep.
But that's kind of their nickname for me. So they always call me like, are you Ryan? Are you Christian today? What are you doing today? What do you want? Some games in the circuit I felt like I was Christian, like just being in that mode where I wanted to score, I wanted to do all that. Like, I wasn't felt tired. I was just in my own head, just thinking and playing. So that was kind of the thing they gave me.
It's cool because, you know, alter egos in sports, and it's just that's a real thing. And I remember when I was coming into college, you know, the Wahoo Nation and the UVA fan base referenced me as Simba, and it's a nickname that I kind of, you know, one of my buddies say is self-proclaimed, but I was actually doing an internship with a media guy in our media department, Dave Kane, who actually just took a job with the Milwaukee Bucks. So shout out to Dave, man, he's incredible. But I worked with him doing some media training when I was in college. I'm a media studies major. I was a media studies major. I'm finishing my degree now, which I encourage, obviously, all of our guys who leave early to do. And if that happens to be your scenario, I'll be calling you, telling you to finish as well. But being a media studies major, I said, Dave, can I do some stuff with you in my free time? And he said, yeah, come on over to the office. And we get to talking, and he's like, what's your nickname? And I'm like, Simba. He's like, Simba. He's like, I like that. And he's like, why Simba? And I said, I can't wait to be king. And in my mind, I knew that it was going to take some time for me to peak and be at my best game. But being a big Lion King fan at the time, and it's going to always be a classic. In my mind, I had to keep working and keep working. So one day I would get the notoriety and the respect and the credit that I deserve because of the work that I put in. So I changed my Instagram name to Who Named Simba. And every time I got buckets at UVA or in John Paul Jones Arena, Dave Kane would say, a Who Named Simba. And so after the games, I'm like, I'm walking out and, you know, my family's there. I'm saying, what's up? And they're like, Simba, Simba. And I'm like, I like this. This is what keeps me going, because, well, once again, I can't wait to put myself in a position where Simba's all grown up and he's handling what I'm handling now. So those alter egos, man, they're cool stories. They're good things to kind of share and kind of out of laughter and everything. So whenever I'm in Charlottesville and I'm at JPJ, I'm calling you Christian. When we just kicking it,
all right,
Brian. So
that's cool. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, my man. So we got to transition and we got to show some love to my man, JoJo, man. God rest his soul. JoJo was a dear friend of yours who passed away in a car accident from Long Island, New York. JoJo was an extreme talent. I got the opportunity to watch JoJo play a high school game in Long Island. I was actually playing for the Long Island Nets, G League, the affiliate of the Brooklyn Nets at the time. And Drizzy hit me up and was like, my young boy's playing. You should come by. I was 8 to 10 minutes up the street. And of course I was going to come and show some love. And JoJo was just a freshman, man. JoJo's a freshman averaging 20. Talk about your relationship, your brotherhood. And let's take a moment to just spread some love and show some love to JoJo. God rest his soul.
Yeah. Like you said, God rest JoJo's soul. Love you, miss you. But meeting Dre put me to meeting JoJo. So I didn't know, I knew who JoJo was, but I didn't know who he was really until I met Andre. So working out with Andre, JoJo showed up. We worked out a little bit. He was cool. And I started kicking it with him a little bit more. And the thing about JoJo was he was a really good player, basketball player. Like he can do a lot of things and he was small, but he had like a big, he was like a big mentality. He was like a real big kid, but he was short. So I kind of was cool with him, but the thing about him was he always
for our listeners, he's kind of like the heart of a lion. He's like a Isaiah Thomas in the NBA. That's who I compare him to. He's short, but he's strong, he's mighty. He did not play small out there, even though he was the smallest player on the court.
Yeah, no. But the thing for him that I saw was his personality off the court. He was always cracking jokes, always making people laugh, always making me laugh. There was a time I played in this thing called Isaiah Whitehead Camp. It was in the Bronx. It was in Brooklyn, I think. And he showed up. And at the time, I didn't know anybody there. And he showed up late. And my friend Zaire, my friend Jared Dingle showed up. So playing with them and playing with JoJo, he saw something in me that I didn't even see myself. He saw like a different side of Ryan before all this Christian stuff came. And he's like, this is the Ryan I want to see, the confidence Ryan. So he kind of was a big kid. And at the time he was 16. So he was like a leader, I would say. Big kid. Just very, very kind-hearted, very great heart, really great heart, funny. He was like a kid that everybody wants to have in life. And when I found out that he was gone, it hurt me a lot, but I know he's in a better place right now. Again, rest in peace to you, miss you. You're kind of the reason why I'm still going right now. So yeah.
That's incredible. JoJo, man, rest in peace, dog. I mean, to be able to see what talent he was on the court and to hear the stories of who he was off the court, it hurt me to my heart to hear someone gone so young. So you know, I'm sure you'll carry his legacy and on with you to UVA. I'm sure you got his number on your shoes and your wristband or whatever the case may be. You know, I already know y'all got your handshake. I seen it with Drizzy. And, you know, you continue to, you know, this is big brother speaking. This is not, and this has nothing to do with anything else, man. You continue to know that he's always watching. He's got you covered. You continue to live, you know, make sure his name lives on and you show through your game and who you are as a person, because he was a special talent, one that we could have possibly seen at the professional level, given his trajectory and where he was going to go. So definitely had to make sure we show some love to JoJo and his family. So lastly, we got to get into the fun stuff, man. We got to get into the fun stuff. What is up with your love and your passion for this program? Because I've seen you guys now, Isaac Trouton, Isaac McNeely, I see it with Leon. You guys are different that are coming in next year, man. You guys remind me a lot of the recruiting class of Ty Jerome, Kyle Guy, DeAndre Hunter, just as far as, you know, you guys are coming in for your respect. Talk to me a little bit about what's up with it, man. What did you see in this program I know because I played in it, and I know what the challenges. I know the good things. Talk to me about what is it about this program that set it apart, that made you want to be a part of it, you know, so bad and eager to commit.
It felt like I needed to be there. Like it was no place. This was the place to be at. When I got off the phone with Coach Bennett, so I played in New Jersey. He came to come watch, and it's Virginia. At the time, I didn't know really about Virginia. So I was like, yeah, I need to go get that offer. So I went to go. I played probably one of my best games in front of him. And then I come back home, and I'm lying down, and he texts me. Coach Bennett texts me, and I'm like, Coach Bennett? Like, the Hall of Fame Coach Bennett? I'm like, yeah. So I got up, called my dad. Dad, Coach Bennett just texted me, what am I doing? Like, I texted him, once up a Zoom call. So we sat down, had a Zoom call together. And after that Zoom call, I kind of knew, like, yeah, this is the spot to be at. But I needed to make sure, because I always want to be 100% where I'm at. I want to be comfortable. So after I got that offer, everyone told me, go there. You need to go there. You need to go there. That's where it is. And I didn't really want to take it because that's other people. Like, I want to figure out what's best for me. So one night, one morning, my mom wakes up and she tells me about a dream. And my grandma, rest in peace to her, I was running a race and I won the race, and she gave me a gold medal. And the gold medal said Virginia on it. So that was kind of like, okay, this is it.
Mom's dream.
This is my mom's dream. Keep in mind, like, my mom's dream, not mine, my mother's. So I went to, and trust me, like, it was tough. I went to go to Pitt, saw Pitt, literally like Pitt, like Coach Bennett, Coach Cable, shout out to them. Went to go to see Minnesota, like, there. And then I came to kind of Virginia. And my old school Lujai my old coach, Coach Buck, my head coach of Lujai, said Virginia is like Lujai on steroids. And I showed up in that mind thinking about that, and I walked in, and the big thing for me was when we had the five pillars, mm-hmm. which is, I think, humility, passion,
unity.
I forgot the other three, unity, servanthood, and then what's the last one, if you can remind me?
Thankfulness.
We have that same thing at Lujai, which is unity, resilience, respect, humbleness, honesty. So that was kind of a big sign for me, like, okay, this is picking up where I just left off. So saw that, talked to Coach Bennett. Coach Bennett was a really real dude. He's a Christian. My mother's a pastor, reverend. So that was also kind of a big sign growing up in that. And then just seeing the place and feeling like, this is home. This is where I want to be. So I decided that's where I needed to be at. So we heard a lot about the 2016 class, and having me, Leon, Isaac, both Isaacs now committed. That's what they see as us now. But I think for me and my thing, we're all different people. We're not like Ty, we're not like Kyle. We're all different. So we're just going to try to be the best versions of ourselves, and hopefully we can come win national championships in a few years. But once I saw that those signs, and once I saw what UVA was about and their culture, I had to be part of this.
That's incredible. You mentioned faith. You know, that's a big staple of our program. And for everybody that's maybe have an opinion right now, as you're driving down the road or listening to this podcast during your workout, we're going to give Ryan a pass on not knowing the pillars.
I'm sorry. I need to remember them.
No need to apologize. Remember those. No need to apologize, because you have not had them not only drilled in your head. Coach Ben is going to make sure you hear about them in practice if you're doing something that goes against them. But to be able to understand the meaning, and to be able to start to relate what these words mean in your daily life. And one of the things that you bring up is your mom being a pastor, which is incredible. It says a lot about, you know, your development and how you were raised. People are probably thinking, well, you know, were they sharing verses back and forth to each other and fact checking each other on what happened in the Bible? And it's not like that. It's exactly what you said about Coach Bennett. When I met him on my recruiting visit, Jason Williford was the lead, you know, recruiter or whatever you want to call it. And I had a relationship with Coach Williford prior to him getting to UVA. So that was only icing on its cake, because when I met Coach Bennett, he was one of the most genuine people that I've ever met. Yep. And so his faith comes out in how genuine he is and how who he is and what he stands on, what he believes, how he carries his life. They say that you can always tell a lot about someone by their fruit and what the fruit that they bear. And every time I'm around Coach Bennett, man, he's always giving off good fruit. And it's awesome to hear that he's able to connect with recruits and connect with guys because of not only his faith, his pillars, but just him being able to organically be him. And therefore, when you're hearing these things about recruiting, and when you're going into one of these head coaches' offices, when you're going into college and you're going into a head coach's office, a lot of guys are hearing things that they want to hear, but when they're getting to the university, they're experiencing things that they never heard during their recruiting process. And one of the things that sets Coach Bennett apart is who he is now to you is who he's going to be post UVA, post your professional career. And I can speak for that just recently, being able to go and sit down in his office and just catch up and just being able to be, you know, completely transparent and talk to him about maybe my struggles and things that I'm going through right now as far as mental space, and being able to have a coach who some people call it a father figure, some people call it, you know, everybody has different names, but to be able to have someone of big faith and to be that genuine, to be an anchor to lean on, you know, I think it's just been an incredible journey, not only to play for him, but to see him recruit elite talent, but also elite people, much like yourself, the other two Isaacs, and Leon. So you stand for all of the right things, man. And for everybody who's tuned into this podcast, if you want to know about the jungle, you can go to YouTube. You can type in Ryan Dunn. His workouts with Andre Brown are on there. Dude, you got a pretty jumper. I don't know if that's something that came along later or if you've always had it. But, you know, looking at these videos and kind of, you know, once we get a recruit or someone that I see that we're highly interested in, I go straight to YouTube. I watch hoop all day. I'm supposed to be watching the WNBA Finals, game two right now. I have no clue what's happening, but because I'm interviewing a future hoop, you know, this comes first. You got a pretty jump shot, man. Is that something that you kind of developed recently, or is that what you pride your game on? What can these fans expect from you as a player, not as a, we talked a lot about character. We talked a lot about your energy and how you come in. We want Christian. We don't want Ryan on the basketball court. We want Christian on the basketball court. That's clear. But talk about your game, man. What can you bring when you see this team go and win a national championship, when you see this team at the top of the ACC, you know, year after year, what do you plan on bringing? What can you bring to help keep us playing at a high level?
Yeah, so to my jump shot first, again, shout out to my dad. He's going to, when he hears it, he's going to want his props. So big thanks to him. He kind of put my jump shot in building mode early. When I first started to play basketball, he knew what the jump shot was supposed to look like, and it didn't look like that. So he kind of brought me everybody, like we talked about before, took me to the best guys to work for my jumper to get it how it looks now. And it's not even close to where it's supposed to be at all. Like, I still have a lot of tweaks and minor stuff I had to get fixed first before I even go to college, because college is a big step. But again, big thanks to him. He kind of helped me grow my jumper into what it is today. And then now me growing, it never really left with me. It kind of kept the same. So for me coming to Virginia, a big powerhouse school with a lot of great recruits coming, I hope to bring Christian, like you said, bring Ryan and Christian, just to be a really good, positive guy, being an all-around player that can do a lot of things, getting other people involved before myself is kind of a big one for me. Like, if I had to get people involved before I want to get myself involved, if I had stuck in myself involved, I can try to help. Just being the best person of my version of myself on the court. I can do that throughout UVA.
I'll give you a quick little tip. You know, big brother got to come out every now and again. I'll give you a quick tip. The way that you get your jump shot better, because your jump shot mechanically looks great, the way that you get your jump shot better is to continue to get a lot of reps and continue to shoot. And if you keep putting your hard hat on and you keep, you know, laying that foundation and working and just getting it up. And just, if you just get the repetition, dude, trust me, you'll be fine. This offense is something that no, a dummy can pick up. The defense is something that Einstein couldn't have maybe even picked up. So you'll figure it out. It's all a part of the process. Learn to love the journey, man. And coming into this thing as a first year, you're gonna have to learn that right away. So everything that goes on and everything that you're gonna witness and appreciate and see and the downfalls and the, you're gonna realize that it's only a part of the journey. So your journey is just beginning, man. We're excited to have you a part of the family. My last thing I gotta ask you, if there's anybody in the country that you want to commit coming in after you. You know, it's going to be little bro if you want. If there's anybody in the country that you like, yo, bro, come rock with us at Virginia. Who is the first person that comes to mind that you think should come rock with us?
Jaden Reed, point guard at Lou High. He's a dog, man. Can do a lot. Scores the basketball, does it well. So, Coach Bennett, if you're hearing this and you need a 2023, that's the guy. I hope you go watch a little bit of film on and go see him play at Lehigh. But that's kind of like, that's my brother to me. He was also JoJo's best friend. So me knowing him, and that's my little brother to me. So, man, if you're hearing this, go watch Jaden.
Yes, sir. My man's already trying to plug in his point guard to come play with him. I love it. Well, for Locker Room Access Podcast, Justin Anderson, Ryan Dunn. Peace.